This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. 50 years ago this month, the 1967 rebellion, uprising, insurrection, riot, different people call it different things, that began in Detroit. And that summer, dozens of civil disturbances took place across the nation. Detroit's was the worst in the number of people killed, people hurt, buildings and homes burned. So let's step back for a moment. How do you teach that history to a young child? How do you tell them that an event in a way makes sense to them? I mean, these kids were born years after 9/11. So how do you teach them about something that happened 50 years ago? Joining us now is Julia Putnam. She's the co-founder and principal of the James and Grace Lee Boggs School, and Ella Stanley, a teacher at the school. So Julia, first, tell us about the name of your school, because I think it's important. Who are James and Grace Lee Boggs?
James and Grace Lee Boggs were longtime community activists. Grace is from New York and Jimmy is from the South. And they did a lot of work for over 50 years in Detroit around pretty much every social justice movement that you can think of. And they were very integral in the Black Power movement and really helped us think about our ideas around education, specifically how community building helps children learn.
How old are your students?
Our students are kindergarten through seventh grade, so they're 5 to 12 years old.
Ella, you were teaching in the school this past year. How did you go about teaching kids that young about the Detroit 1967 uprising?
One way we went about it is these kinds of uprisings are happening right now in current events, and kids are exposed to that every single day via the media. And so one main connection we were able to make immediately is, well, what happened in Ferguson? Well, what's happening elsewhere in the country, and how is this similar?
So these events are happening, like the 1967 uprising, but there are underlying reasons for that event. How do you tell youngsters about racial discrimination, economic inequality, relationships with the police?
I don't think that you need to tell them. They know already. As Ella was saying, the exposure to the media, the exposure to current events, and the ways it impacts their everyday lives. Many of the kids have stories about police brutality, both against themselves or against family members. They see the blight in the city. They hear the conversations amongst adults about why that might be true. Some people attribute it to the uprising. Some people understand that it started with conditions and systems far before that. And they're really curious and wondering how to sort all that through. So it was not hard to begin the conversation with them. They're hungry for this conversation.
So when you're teaching this, I mean, do you have to be careful about the words? How do you teach it differently for someone who's younger versus someone who might be in college?
We immediately think younger kids need to be kind of shied away from the hard stuff until they have the emotional capacity to deal with our difficult history. But the reality is they're dealing with the difficult history right now in their everyday life. And so, yes, I think that we go about delivering the content a little differently. We don't hand kids a 60-page packet, but we acknowledge first that you do experience this, right? And so we're going to allow you to think about something that maybe people at other schools or other adults in your life think that you're not capable of dealing with yet. And the reality is they are. They see this every single day.
That's a really good point, Ella. And I want to add that there's a publication called Riverwise that's put on by community journalists in the city. And one of the latest issues had a pictorial history of the rebellion with actual places. And one of the field trips that the teachers designed actually had the kids go to each of those places and hear from someone. So Ed's bookstore, the Algiers Motel, and the location it used to be, actual 12th and Claremont, the intersection. There was so much that they learned just from visually going to the places that they might pass every day and not understand the significance of the history. So I think a visual picture was very helpful for the kids. I also know that questions of race came up, and often people don't give kids the chance and the opportunity and the space to talk about race. And these are Black and white kids and interracial kids and kids who are not Black or white, talking with white teachers and Black teachers about what came up for them. Why is it that there was so much poverty? Why is it that there was so much police brutality? What is it about white people and their history of oppression towards Black people. Like, what is that about? And it's important for kids to grapple with that. They grapple with it anyway, but they often grapple with it in silence and not in community and not in conversation with each other and with adults who care about them and can acknowledge what they're seeing is true and important. And I think that that's the gift that the kids got this year.
Recently, I was at a large gathering of residents who grew up near 12th and Claremont, where the rebellion began, and they were alive during the uprising. They complained that schools typically don't teach kids about the history of the city. Why do you?
Our school is a place-based model of education, and so as much as possible, we like our curriculum to be based upon the history, geography, and culture of the community in which the school resides. And so for us, it's a no-brainer to take this information and incorporate it in what the kids learn. And one of the things that James and Grace taught us is that one way to address the problems in the city was to put the energy of children toward it, that they are solutionaries, the people who can come up with solutions to the problems that have been created because they're creative, because they're curious, because they have the energy and the will and the desire to see things get better. And what better way for that to happen than through their learning that they do every day when they're in school?
At the beginning, I called this a rebellion, an uprising, an insurrection, a riot. I understand the students debated whether that civil disturbance should be called a riot or a rebellion. That's a conversation a lot of adults are having this year. What did your students decide?
I think it's important to note that for most of their lives, it's been called a riot. As a person who grew up in Detroit, it was always presented to me as the race riots. And so immediately it's hard to undo that word in your mind, especially for kids who that's what they know it as. And so there was a big debate and conversation around the difference between a riot and rebellion. And in their writing and in their presentation, they were allowed to call it what they felt was the most just and correct way to refer to it as.
I also want to say that there's a documentary about Grace Lee Boggs called American Revolutionary, The Evolution of Grace Lee Boggs. And in it, she's talking to Bill Moyers and she corrects him when he calls it a riot and asks him to consider calling it a rebellion because it was a response of people to social injustice. And one of the things that Grace stressed to us a lot was that if you get stuck in old ideas, then you're not growing and you're not learning. And so it was important to her that the kids or nobody lionize her or take her word as truth and to continue to question. And so I think it would have been easy for us to say, well, Grace called a rebellion. That's what we're going to call it. That's what you need to understand. And so I was really proud and glad that the teachers allowed the kids to take in the information and decide for themselves. And some did come out saying, no, this is a riot as far as I understand it. And others came across differently. So it's important to us that kids are critical thinkers and they think and decide for themselves.
I also want to say that I think all kids are exposed to racism, but when kids are personally connected to the different kind of oppression that was brought up during the 67 rebellion, and they're seeing this connection to today, that's where their vocab began to change. They're like, oh, it can't have just been a multi-day riot. If we're still seeing police brutality today, then this has to be a movement or this has to be a rebellion because this is continuing, right? And so I think that that was really important to the unit too, making those connections, feeling safe to make those connections, and then their vocab began to change around the whole study.
Julia, you suggested teaching the history of the 67 uprising to mark the 50th anniversary. How, though, will it affect your curriculum in coming school years?
I think it was important to touch on this because it was this important anniversary and it was a conversation that's going to be happening, has been happening in the city and will continue specifically in this year. And I think the exposure of this conversation to the kids is something that can be ongoing and there are lots of different directions we could take it. One of the cool things that Miss Ella did was have the kids do a poetry unit and write poems about 50 years from now. And so visioning what the city could look like 50 years from this anniversary, I think is a really compelling thing to continue to talk to kids about. And there's so many themes around this. And there's so much, I guess, angst and ire are still around this conversation and the rebellion and how to move forward and how to move forward together, that this is going to be an ongoing conversation that the teachers just can use their creativity and intelligence to incorporate.
What advice do you have for teachers or principals who want to implement similar units in their schools?
I think the advice I'd have is to be honest and to trust kids and to trust their questions, honor their questions, honor their experiences, and to not dumb down the information. They're so curious and they have so many questions, and to pretend as if we don't have the same questions as adults and to pretend that their questions aren't something that are worth exploring is a mistake. And I think it's such a sacred space for educating kids and truly educating them and helping them to be critical thinkers.
That is Julia Putnam. She's the co-founder and principal of the James and Grace Lee Boggs School. We also heard from Ella Stanley, a teacher at the school. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much, Lester.
Thank you.